Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Everybody's got a story. And everyone's story is different. That is one reason to be gentle with people when you meet them, even the people you think you know their story, because their story is not the same as your story. And you never know all the parts of their story. There is some hurt, some loss, some pain, something that you don't really know about them. That is a reason not to be quick with judgment, but to be gentle and open to hearing their whole story. See, everybody's got a story, and all of them have gone wrong in some way. Our stories are messy bundles of self-centered fears and jealousies, confusing and contradictory desires, and all doomed to end in death. We try to be in charge and be our own heroes in our stories. That is called sin, and it means we can never manage to write our own happy endings. Everybody's got a story, even Jesus, but his story is different. He is the one true hero. He is also the one true author, so his story fixes and finishes everybody else's story. The fears and the jealousies, the confusions and the contradiction, the sin and the death, it all gets rescued, healed, and rewritten in the gospel, the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. He who on the cross did suffer, he who from the grave arose, he has vanquished sin and Satan. He by death has crushed his foes. And he did that for everybody. That means all of our stories are bound up in his story. All the different stories are made one, united, and whole. The easiest way to see this is by looking at the Old Testament stories and seeing how they get lifted and bound into Jesus' story. And since we are celebrating our Lord's ascension today, our first communion hymn gives us those Old Testament stories that most closely resemble the ascension of Jesus. Our hymn mentions the patriarch Enoch, who loved God, who lived before the flood. The scriptures tell us that he walked with God and it pleased him. And then God took him before death. Enoch was brought to God in heaven, and this was only possible because Jesus, our Enoch, is translated to his everlasting home. So also Aaron the high priest was able to bring the sacrificial blood of the Lamb behind the curtain of the Ark of the Covenant into the Holy of Holies. He could enter God's throne room, heaven on earth, all because Jesus, the true high priest, who goes before God with his holy blood as the sacrifice for sin. As the hymn puts it, now our heavenly Aaron enters with his blood within the veil. The story of Jesus also is taken up in the story of Joshua, who led the people of Israel over the Jordan River, who led the people into the Promised Land. Joshua now has come to Canaan, and the kings before him quail. Now he plants the tribes of Israel in their promised resting place. And that is in truth what Jesus does in his ascension for us. He brings us, his new people, to the promised land of his eternal kingdom. Finally, the most obvious Old Testament ascension story is brought to mind. Elijah, who was taken up into heaven by the horses and chariots of fire, left behind his disciple Elisha to carry on his prophetic work on earth. That was done because that is what Jesus himself does. He ascends to heaven
And now our great Elijah offers double portion of his grace to the apostles, to the church on earth, as we carry out the work he has given us to do. You could take all of these stories separately, all disconnected from each other, and you might still be left wondering why. Why does God do these things? Why does he work this way in the life of his saints? The answer can only be seen most clearly when we realize that all of these stories are bound up and lifted up in Jesus' story. All these people from various times and places, they are all part of that one story, and that includes you and me. Your stories need not be confusing or contradictory. Your story and your life is given something more than the self-centered fears and desires that you bring into it. Your story is lifted into Jesus' story. Your life and your death is united to Jesus' life and death. And so your story, your life, has meaning and purpose. Your story, with all of the bumps in the road, with all of the wrong turns and the old wounds, with all of the sin in Jesus, your story is bound up and healed and restored and forgiven and straightened out. By his death, he paid the price for your sin. By his resurrection, he won victory over death and the devil. And now, by his ascension, he takes you up with him to everlasting life and glory. What is true for Jesus is true for you. Where Jesus goes, you go. His story is your story. You belong to him, and he belongs to you. So as Jesus ascends to heaven, you do as well, higher than the clouds, higher than the stars and the angels, up to the highest, up to the heaven of heavens, where only God dwells in unapproachable light. Jesus' ascension has brought us there with him. And even though all we see and know in this fallen world, with everything that's gone wrong, with all of our sin, still we share in the fullness of him who fills all in all. We share in the life of heaven. By his ascension, Jesus makes it possible for us to live with the unapproachable God. We eat and drink the untouchable Holy Lord. The crucified, risen, and ascended Jesus touches our lips, and we eat and drink his crucified, risen, and glorified body and blood. The Lord's Supper means that you are united to our Lord. His story is your story. And the ascension of Jesus is not just a story about Jesus. It's also not just a story for a few saints who got taken up to heaven early. It's Jesus' story for you. The hymn ends this way: he has raised our human nature on the clouds to God's right hand. There we sit in heavenly places. There with him in glory stand. Jesus reigns adored by angels. Man with God is on the throne. By our mighty Lord's ascension, we by faith behold our own. But while the disciples were gazing into heaven as Jesus went, behold, two men stood by them and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." So notice here that the ascension of Jesus is not the end of the story. He will come again in the same way as he went into heaven. He will come then with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. The ascension is not the end of Jesus' story, and it's not the end of your story either. The story of the ascension tells us that our stories will continue for all eternity, and we shall see God face to face. Everybody's got a story, and on our own, our stories have gone wrong in some way or another. They are messy bundles of self-centered fears and jealousies, confusing, contradictory desires, all doomed to end in death. But in Jesus, every story is forgiven and lifted up, finished and resolved, and brought to a glorious, happy end, to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. J.R. Tolkien, the storyteller who gave us The Lord of the Rings, once wrote this in a letter to his son. There is a place called heaven where the good here unfinished is completed, and where the stories unwritten and the hopes unfulfilled are continued. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith to Christ Jesus, to life everlasting. Amen.